We continue our study looking at the life of Joseph, who portrays a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. We'll be looking at Genesis 43, verses 15 through 34. These verses describe a scene that is filled with emotions, fear, relief, gratitude, and joy all mingle together in this reunion between Joseph and his brothers. Emotions are something that we deal with every day of our lives. They are powerful, and they can control our lives if we allow them to. Now, emotions or feelings are not bad in and of themselves, but we must always remember that our emotions arise from our minds. And since we are fallen creatures, our emotions have been affected too. That means that not everything we feel is right or proper. We must learn to check our emotions against the Word of God to ensure that we are not led astray by our feelings. This happens far too often in people's lives. Young girls will give up their purity because they are lost in their feelings. Men abandon their families because they get caught up in emotions. Families and churches are ripped apart because people allow emotions like anger, bitterness, and resentment to control them. Of course, God works in our emotions. He uses the natural responses that we have to the events of life to teach us about Him, His will, and what He's doing in our life. Today, I want to look at emotions. First of all, in verses 18 through 24 of our text, we see the brothers and their fears. When these men are being brought into Joseph's house, they become afraid. They're filled with dread. Look at verse 18. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. The men were afraid. They were filled with dread. They're convinced that they have been led into a trap. They are sure that Joseph is going to arrest them and put them into prison. They express their fears to the steward of Joseph's house. He comforts them the best he can, even tell them that God was looking out for them in their troubles. We find out in verse 23. And he said, "Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought Simeon out to them. They bring Simeon out. Then he gives them water to wash their feet, a sign of great respect. He also gives them food for the animals, a sign of hospitality. So, with their hearts pounding in fear, they prepare themselves for the arrival of Joseph for the noon meal. There are two emotions at work in the lives of these men. They're afraid, and they're being eaten alive with guilt. I want to examine both of these emotions today. First, let's talk about fear. Fear is a terrible emotion. It is paralyzing in the effect that it has on our lives. Fear renders us incapable of trusting the Lord and looking to Him for the help that we need in life. Look at this scene. Here are 11 men who have been brought up to know Jehovah, the only true and living God. Yet they are so overcome by the emotion of fear that they're unable to see His hand at work in their lives. Is it not the same with us? They have to be reminded of God's grace, His sovereignty, and His purposes by an Egyptian pagan. Haven't we all been there at times? Life comes at us with all of its problems and its tragedies, and when it does, we become filled with fear and dread. Instead of faith in God, we're gripped by worry and dread. Someone has calculated that there are over 365 statements in the Bible calling us to put aside our fears and to trust in the Lord. We need to put aside our fears. We need to remember the scripture in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be fearful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are to be anxious for nothing, but to be careful for nothing. We need not fear. Christ has promised us. He has promised us to hear us when we pray. He has promised to sustain us. Look at Psalm 55, verse 22. There we read, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord. That is what the Lord tells us to do with our fears and our anxieties and our doubts. He's promised to sustain us. He's promised to meet every one of our needs. In Philippians 4, verse 19, we read, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Once again, by Christ Jesus, because of our relationship with Christ, we can trust him. Do you not know that the Lord takes care of the sparrow? Shall he not certainly take care of you and I? With promises like that, that I've just read to you, that he promises to hear our prayer, that we're to be anxious for nothing, that he's going to sustain us, that he's going to meet every one of our needs. With promises like that, why would anyone want to be fearful? Don't allow fear to dominate your life. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. See, that's what we do when we get wrapped up in our emotions. We rely on our own understanding. But yet, that verse in Proverbs continues to say, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. If you live in fear, you will never, ever have peace in your life. If you can learn to trust the Lord in all of life, you will never have anything to fear. The real reason, pay close attention to this, brothers and sisters, the real reason these men are so overcome by fear is the fact that they're filled with guilt. These men know that they have wronged their brother. They lied about it. And they're convinced that God is out to get them. And in a sense, they are right. The Lord's using the events of their lives to bring them face to face with their past sins. He's awakening in them a sense of guilt. And this guilt is about to eat them alive. They're convinced that they are being punished for all the evil that they've done. Genesis 42, verse 21 tells us this. Genesis 42, verse 21 tells us about these brothers and their fear. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? Therefore, is this distress come upon us? They had been guilty. The law had convicted them. They had basically turned their brother over to be murdered. When they cast him into the pit, they didn't know what was going to happen to them. They showed hatred, bitterness, and a host of other sins. So they were guilty. And guilt will produce fear. But guilt can be a healthy emotion. The Lord uses it to awaken in us our sinful condition and to show us our need of Jesus Christ. It causes us to feel guilty for our sins, and that guilt before God is used by Him to draw us to Jesus Christ and to His salvation. In John 16, verses 7 to 11, we read, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." As I said, guilt can be a healthy emotion. There is a good guilt when we come face to face with our sins. The negative side of guilt is when we continue to feel, guilt over our sins that God has already forgiven us. In the Old Testament, the Jews had an offering called the burnt offering. A man bring his sacrifice to the tabernacle, place his hands on the animal's head, and kill the animal. The animal was taken the place of the sinner. The sinner's guilt was transferred to the animal, and the sinner was cleansed of his guilt. This is what Jesus Christ did for us when He went to the cross to die for us. He literally took our sins and our guilt upon Himself and became our sin. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read, "And He became sin for us, in order that we would become the righteousness of God." He was judged in our place, and we're forgiven when we trust Him by faith. When the Lord saves us, He takes away our sin. Psalm 103, verse 12 tells us, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Oh, hallelujah. In John 1, verse 29, we read, "Behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world." Brothers and sisters, our sin has been paid for. There's no reason to fear now. The guilt should be gone, and gone forever. Gone forever. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Oh, hallelujah. The gospel. We should never allow the flesh, the world, or the devil to beat us up over sins that the Lord has forgiven us. If you're saved, your past is not an issue any longer. Let your faith in Christ spell the end of your guilt over your past. That was looking at the brothers and their fears, and us and our fears. Now we see in verses 25 through 30, Joseph's feelings, the way Joseph felt about his brothers. When Joseph enters the scene, his brothers bow down before him and give him the gifts that they have brought from Canaan. He immediately asks them about their father Jacob. His brothers tell Joseph that their father is doing well. Then Joseph looks at Benjamin, the only full brother he has. He pronounces a blessing on his brother, and Joseph is immediately overcome with emotion. He leaves his brother standing there while he makes a hasty retreat to his private chamber. There, he gives way to all the emotions that are raging within his heart, that he breaks down and he weeps. I'm not sure what you call this emotion, but there are times when a person becomes overwhelmed by the events of life. Sometimes fear, anger, joy, and all the other emotions that we feel can pile up in our hearts until we can take it no longer. And there must be an outlet. There's times when people just come to a place where they break down. Has that ever happened to you? If it has, you're in good company. Some of God's servants went through times of deep emotional distress. David, when his beloved Absalom was killed. Job, when he had lost everything from his children to his possessions and to his health. Elijah, when revival did not fall after the experiences on Mount Carmel. Moses, when he was overwhelmed with all that he had to do. Contrary to what you might have been taught, there is no shame in being overwhelmed by your circumstances. When a loved one is taken by death, when disease rears its ugly head, when your family is ripped apart, when your heart is broken and a thousand other things, it's easy to be overwhelmed. I praise the Lord, though, that He understands our times of weeping and brokenness. Christ had such a time as that Himself. The shortest verse in the Bible, He wept. He wept, brothers and sisters. He wept. The people who know you might not understand, but the Lord does. People may not understand or acknowledge your pain, but God will not rebuke you. He didn't rebuke those other men I just mentioned. Others may tell you to snap out of it, to get over it, but the Lord will stand by you and comfort you. He will help you get through it. The Lord can take it when we fall apart. He can handle it when all the pain and emotion in our hearts burst forth and we have a breakdown. Others might not be able to handle our breakdowns, but God certainly can. He can handle anything that you feel. He can handle anything that you might need to say to Him. Just simply be honest and open before Him, and He can help you in those times of overwhelming emotions. Take Moses, for instance. When he had his little episode in Numbers 11, he said some pretty hard things to God. Did God get angry with Moses? Did God zap him with a lightning bolt? No, God helped him by taking some of the pressure off of Moses. Let me remind you today that God cares about the things that you and I face in this life. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Psalm 34:1, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto your cry. Psalm 142:4-5, I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my strength in the land of the living. Matthew 6:26, behold, the fowls of the air, but they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? I'm certainly not saying that you are okay, that it's okay to wallow in self-pity, but I am saying that sometimes life hurts. It stinks sometimes, and when it does, we have a God who understands and the one who cares about His children. We've looked at Joseph's brothers and their fears. We've looked at Joseph and his feelings. And look what happens in verses 31 through 34. When Joseph comes back, he's got his emotions under control. He commands the servants to serve the meal. He's seated by himself because he is the ruler. The Egyptians are seated at another table because their religion forbade them from eating with shepherds. When the brothers of Joseph were seated for their meal, they noticed that they were seated in their birth order, from the oldest to the youngest. This amazes them. This should have been a clue to Joseph's identity. No one else would have known the order of their births. In fact, a mathematician has concluded that there were 39,917,000 different orders in which 11 individuals could have been seated. So there they sit with Joseph, and their meal is served. Joseph even sent them food from his table. And when he did, he sent five times as much to his full brother Benjamin. This should have been another clue. So this chapter ends with all of the brothers, Jacob's 12 sons, eating a meal together and being merry. They are all experiencing the emotion of joy. They knew guilt, and now they know joy. It is the same with us, brothers and sisters, that have come to Christ. We were guilty of our sin, and it pleased our King, even as it pleased Joseph, to bring them to the feast, to forgive them, to grant them gifts, to bless them. And they became merry. They're eating together, the brothers that had sinned against their brother, who is now the King. Sound familiar to you? We have sinned against our brother, our great King, Jesus Christ. And yet, he would cleanse us from all of our sin, forgive us all of our sins, invite us to the feast, and it should bring us great joy. I suppose that joy is probably the favorite emotion that we share as humans. We all like to be happy. We all love that feeling of contentment and joy when we get everything in life, when everything in life is just what it ought to be. It's a great feeling. In fact, God teaches us that happiness and joy are actually very healthy emotions. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Proverbs 17:22. Laughter is good for the soul. Laughter is good for the face as well. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:13. In fact, the Bible tells us that people who have a merry heart live in a continual party atmosphere. Life to them is blessed. It's a blessed time of joy and happiness. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Remember Paul and Silas in that prison? What did they do? They praised the Lord and they sang in the dungeon. Paul was just living out what he had preached. There's nothing wrong with being a happy person. If you aren't happy and enjoying the joy of the Lord as you walk through this life, you ought to get before the Lord and ask him to help you to have his joy. You see, there's a school of thought in the church that says to be happy, you have to be miserable. If you're smiling and laughing and having a good time, well, you just aren't serious about the things of God. You do not have to act like you were baptized in vinegar to be spiritual. In fact, the truly spiritual person is a person who is happy and rejoicing in what he has in the Lord. Now, let's not miss this. Here these men are with Joseph and they are sitting at his table feasting. They paint a powerful picture of the glorious grace of God. This section of scripture in Genesis is such a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ and his grace towards those who have sinned against him. Joseph has sinned against their brother, and yet the brother forgives them and blesses them and invites them to a great feast. You see, these men were guilty. No one would have blamed Joseph if he had thrown them all into prison or even enslaved them. But Joseph forgives them and welcomes them into his own home. He invites them to eat with him at his table, and he shares with them the very best that he had. This is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We were guilty and worthy of judgment. We deserve far worse than prison or slavery. We deserve death and hell, but he loved us in spite of ourselves. He saved us from our sins. He brought us into his family. He feeds us with the best things from his table. As a matter of fact, he's even preparing a place for us in heaven. It says that he has gone to prepare a place for us, but that he's coming back for us, and where he is, he will bring us also. He's taken away our guilt and our past. He's healed our ruined spiritual lives. He's replaced our guilt with his peace. He's given us his spirit, and he has filled us with the capacity for genuine joy in the Lord. Am I happy? Do I have joy? If I don't, it's my own fault. Christ has promised that we would have a life, abundant life. Let us close by looking at another feast that will take place one day. That was a feast that the brothers went to with Joseph. As I said, all throughout the Old Testament, we find Christ. You find Christ in Joseph. Joseph is a picture of Christ. His brothers are a picture of sinful humanity. But those that have been regenerated are invited to a far greater feast one day. And this should cause us to have great joy. I'm going to close this message by looking at Revelation 19, beginning at verse 6. This is the feast that we have been called, the brothers and sisters. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. There's that imputed righteousness given by Christ. He became sin for us so that we would become the righteousness of God. Continuing in Revelation 19, verse 9. And he said unto me, write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That will be the great feast. Joseph and his brothers, and that feast was just a picture, brothers and sisters, of the feast that we're going to. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All the trials, the tribulations, the pain, the heartache, the death, the disease, the wars, the famines, and on and on and on will all be over with. And all of the saints will be gathered together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These, brothers and sisters, are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. As I said, brothers and sisters, emotions and feelings are not all bad. They're not bad in and of themselves. Feelings, emotions can be used for good. Bad emotions is you're feeling guilt over sins that have been paid for. Christ has been our atonement. He has become our atonement. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Confess your sin. If you have sinned, confess your sin. And he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're to have joy. We're to have joy. We're to be happy, brothers and sisters. We humans are emotional creatures. And if we're not careful, our emotions will control our lives and our actions. We need to bring our emotions under the control of the Lord God. And we bring them emotions under control by the Word of God. If He's spoken to you today, you can come to Him and get help today. Do you need to deal with your guilt? If you're not saved, then Christ will take your guilt away. If you are saved, then learn the rest and what He has done for your soul. If you don't have joy today, it's simply you're feeling guilt over your sins. The law is convicting you over your sin. But you're no longer under the law. You are under grace. The King welcomes you to the feast, even as Joseph welcomed his brothers and blessed them and forgave them. Are you overwhelmed by the circumstances of life? Are you close to a breakdown? Come to the Lord. Cast your burden upon Him. He cares. Do you lack joy? The Lord can give you the peace and the happiness that you seek. Do you need to praise Him for His grace in your life? Do you need to praise Him for His grace in your life? Will you not trust Him? Will you not cast all your cares and your burdens upon Him? Listen to His voice in the Scriptures. Listen, you're waiting for a word from God? Then open up your Bible and He has a word for you. He will speak to you through the Scriptures. That is how God speaks to His people. Come to Christ. Cast all your cares upon Him. Look to Christ. Look to the promises. Hear the words that are proclaimed in the gospel, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, come to Christ. Come to Christ today. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. And He will give you peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now we're going to. We have peace with God. Simply bring all of your sin, all of your problems, all of your guilt, your lack of joy, bring it all to Him. For He cares. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you should have a feeling of guilt. Because the law convicts you. The law that is written on your heart convicts you. You know that you haven't measured up to what God has demanded from you. Your conscience tells you that. You know that you are not measured up to whatever the measuring line is in your life. You haven't kept, quote-unquote, the golden rule. You haven't treated others how you would have them treat you. You know you haven't loved your neighbor, you haven't loved your brother, you haven't loved your family members, you haven't loved your enemies. Christ has told us to love our enemies. So even if you would say, oh yeah, I love my family, I love my dog, I love my cat, and you haven't loved your enemies. None of us have. We all need a Savior. My friend, if you've never come to Christ, come to Christ. Come to the great King today. You need not be fearful if you come to Him. For He said, whosoever will come. Come, repent and believe, and you shall be saved. Taste and see that this great King that I have talked about, that I have been talking about for the last half hour, He is good. He is a good God, He is a good King, and He is merciful, and He is full of grace. Come to Christ today.